What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Lawyer You Know podcast. I'm your host, attorney Peter Tragos, and on this podcast, we break down the trials and cases you care most about so that you can understand how the American criminal and civil justice system works. We try to make sure you understand your rights by answering your questions as, well, a lawyer that you know. So we want to walk you through this process, and we can do it together. Make sure you get in the comments or in the chats to ask the questions that have been burning in your minds. And while this is not legal advice, it's always exciting. So buckle up for another episode of The Lawyer You Know.
What's up, everybody? We're back. Another day is in the books in the Murdaugh trial. It wasn't the most eventful day, especially the finish to the day, but we're going to talk about what witnesses were called, what they testified to. I'm going to give a brief recap and summary. We're going to spend most of our time on that first witness. I am going to play a few clips from her testimony, but most of the video is actually going to be reviewing and reacting to and asking questions and see what we can actually see from the body cam footage inside the car for the interrogation of Alec Murdaugh the night the murders happened. That's where we're going to spend most of our time. Oh, just kidding. I probably should use the microphone, huh? Is that what somebody just told me? Yeah. Check mic. I guess I should bring the mic in, huh? It's Friday night, everybody, right? Yeah, people are commenting on the background. And it's not on, I'm told.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Is it on now? All right. There we go. All right, now we've got the right mic on. People were saying they could hear me fine. Yeah, it was picking up my AirPods, I think. All right. So we're here. I'm glad you could hear me so I don't have to redo the intro. But thank you for people complimenting the background. We're trying something new again, some new experiments with lights and things like that. I'm just trying to find the best home vibes for you guys to all come into my home with me and talk about Alec Murdaugh because I am the lawyer you know. And we get to talk about these cases together. So thanks, everybody, for joining me tonight to talk about this case. Most of the time, as I said, we'll be focused on that interrogation inside the car. If you guys haven't liked the video already, hit that like button and subscribe to our page because this is what we do when trials are going on. We recap, we summarize so that if you didn't watch the trial, you don't have to watch the entire thing. And if you did, you don't have to sit through it again. So one of the most interesting pieces to today's testimony of this first witness was that she said she was a true crime fan and she was very nervous to be on the stand because my impression of her, including all the witnesses today and all the witnesses yesterday, she seemed the most coached or prepared or the one that was trying the hardest to make Alec Murdaugh seem guilty. I'm not saying he's not guilty. I'm just saying all the other officers I felt like were pretty straightforward. They didn't feel like they had an agenda. Some officers do in other trials that we've seen. I'm not saying she felt like she had an agenda, but she was the first one that did feel like she was trying to say certain things and hit certain beats. That could mean she has an agenda, or it just means she was nervous and she had prepared certain things that she wanted to make sure she said. Okay. So when we talk about, yeah, she got a great resume. She was great. I don't, nothing against her. I'm just saying she was the only one I felt that way about was this first witness today. So let's listen to her in the beginning, talk about whether or not she's nervous, and then talk about being a true crime fan, which was later used against her.
My name is Laura Rutland, R-U-T-L-A-N-D.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
Nobody's watching.
A good break the ice. Nobody's watching. That's a little wink, wink to us, right? Behind the third wall. They know we're watching. They know we're talking about it. And now some of the witnesses are getting nervous. And it's interesting. I've actually seen some people that might be witnesses in this case go do YouTube shows and news media shows because the rule of sequestration has not been invoked. A lot of you are asking about Buster and other family members. I have been told that the rule of sequestration has not been invoked and therefore witnesses can be in the courtroom watching the trial or watching it on YouTube with us. So that's interesting.
You are Laura Rutland?
I am.
Please tell the ladies and gentlemen of this jury about Laura Rutland.
Where this guy's voice sounds straight out of a movie. You are Laura Rutland? Please tell the members of this jury.
From where you were born, where you lived, and a little bit of your background leading up to law enforcement, please, ma'am.
Good morning, everybody. I was born in Charleston, in South Carolina. When I was about 6 months old, my family moved back to England, where we're originally from. Lived there until I was about 3 or 4 years old. Came back to the United States. Grew up in Somerville, South Carolina. Graduated from Somerville High School. After I graduated, I was working as a dog groomer. Met my would-be my husband. We moved to Port Royal, South Carolina. He was in the Marine Corps, stationed at Parris Island at the time. Then we moved to Bluffton. We had decided, I decided to pursue law enforcement. I've always been a true crime nerd, into mysteries and things like that. So I decided to pursue law enforcement.
And she has a great resume, but I've always been a true crime nerd, which is really cool because this channel has a lot of true crime nerds. There's tons of true crime nerds all over YouTube with big time channels that talk about these true crime cases. And this is a true crime case. I mean, this is captivating the audience that are true crime nerds. But it's going to come back to bite her later when she gets cross-examined. And we'll talk about that when we get there. She has a great resume. And I think one of the really important parts about her background is she was not born and raised here in this small town with any connections to Alec Murdoch. She had no clue who he was from Adam. And she ended up being the liaison between local law enforcement and SLED because they wanted to bring SLED in to be primary to make sure there were no conflicts of interest or anybody that had worked with Alec Murdoch or that he may have some influence over in this case. And that's really, really important. All right. So she continues to testify. We're not going to watch the entirety of her testimony, just a couple clips here. And at the end is when we're going to watch the body cam footage. So just stick around till then. Stay tuned till then. I'm going to get through the rest of the day. So they talked a lot about footprints and how Harpoolian called and thought they were her footprints, but they were actually Maggie's footprints and Maggie's footprints walking all around, which I thought she did a pretty good job of saying those weren't some other potential killer's footprints, but they were in fact Maggie's footprints. She talked about how his brother and his personal lawyer showed up pretty quickly, but that he did acquiesce and make a statement. It was raining, so they got inside the car. He did say that the boat thing must be it. And again, we'll watch that together. There was a point during her testimony where she was off the stand and her lawyer, the prosecutor was questioning her. Harpoolian was objecting. And I think the prosecutor told Harpoolian to sit down, but it could have just been him telling the witness to sit down. But I thought it was kind of funny that he told Harpoolian to sit down at one point. They talked about how he said he tried to check the pulses. There was way too much nitpicking, in my opinion, as to whether or not Alec Murdoch said he's turned him over twice or turned him over once or tried to turn him over. I think the prosecution kind of was hitting that so hard and it was not effective to me. It may have been effective to you. I don't think it was that effective in my opinion. But then what I thought was really effective is when they went and this prosecutor was pretty strong on it. And he said, was there any blood on the shoes, on his hands, on his shirt, on his shorts, on his shoes? How is that possible? So how would you describe his hands? Clean. How would you describe his shirt? Clean. How would you describe his shoes? Clean. That was a really strong kind of ending to the direct examination. Yes, we are going to watch this together at the end. So yeah, I thought that was a really effective ending. However, right when cross-examination began, I thought they did a good job using that same fact as their fact. Both sides want to use the fact that he had no blood on him to prove their point. The state is clearly trying to prove he cleaned up and covered this up after he committed these crimes. The defense is clearly trying to state he didn't do it and couldn't have done it, or the blood would have been all over him. So the jury is going to have to decipher, what does that fact mean? And it's interesting, in a lot of cases, the jury is the finder of fact. So they have to try to figure out what is a true fact. But they don't have to figure out whether or not Alec Murdoch had blood on him. That is not a fact. Both sides agree he had no blood on him. But they have to figure out what that fact actually means, which is sometimes harder. All right, so next, something that we still haven't dug into. I kept thinking we were going to get to it today. I kept thinking we were going to get to, what did they actually find in the search warrant? What did they actually do? Where did they go? What did they look for? What did they test? But instead, the last witness just basically listed everything that they took, and we'll get there when we get to that last witness. But I thought this was interesting, and we're going to play this part during cross-examination, when the defense attorney actually reads what they are allowed to search pursuant to the search warrant, which I think gives us a little context about what exactly they could have done. We still don't know what they did do. We still don't know what they found. We still haven't retraced all of their steps and everything they tested, so we'll still see that. But first, let's get to what they were allowed to search pursuant to the search warrant.
Well, first, let's just talk about a search warrant. What is a search warrant?
It grants us the right to search a certain item that may be potential evidence in a case.
And this search warrant was for what property?
4147 Moselle Road in Islington, County of Colleton, State of South Carolina.
And it covers the whole roughly 1,700 acres of the whole property, does it not?
That is correct.
And it covers the house, the residence where you went into the foyer, right?
Correct.
It covers all the outbuildings, correct?
Correct.
And it covers, and it gives you the right to seize any type of evidence, correct?
That is correct.
Let me see if I can get Mr. Elmo to work. Can you turn it on, please? I've got to turn sideways. All right. Let's see if we can read that document. Is there lighting coming? That's much better. And can we zoom in? And this is the search warrant, right?
Yes, it is.
And it says description of premises to be searched. And here it's 4147 Moselle Road, Islington. And then there's a PIN number. What's the PIN number?
That's a property identification number that's assigned to every parcels of real property within the county. It's set by the tax office.
It says the property to be searched are any residences, vehicles, outbuildings, kennels, or sheds, right?
That is correct.
And then it says the description of the property to search and to be seized. And that's under the description of property, right?
Correct.
And you prepared this document for the magistrate to sign?
I did.
And here says evidence that may be used or taken during the commission of a crime of homicide to include but not limited any item, tool, clothing, gloves, masks, hats, hoodies, shoes, boots, jewelry, firearms, ammunition, shell casings, gunshot residue, weapons, identification documents, any paperwork, etc. It says any evidence inside vehicles on the property, any evidence found in outbuildings or sheds, any tire, shoe impressions, any and all DNA to include but not limited to fingerprints, touch DNA, etc., any drugs, narcotics, drugs, paraphernalia, any and all cellular phones, phone records to include incoming, outgoing calls, text messages, voice messages, etc. And it goes on to talk about photographs and whatnot. It's all encompassing, isn't it?
It is.
And this is basically as broad as a search warrant that you draft, because it's a homicide investigation and it gives you carte blanche on the property of the crime scene, correct?
That's correct.
And with the search warrant, you had the authority to go in the house and look for unclean, dirty clothes. Did you not?
I wasn't in that capacity that evening. I was assisting.
Here's what's annoying is the search warrant does allow you to do that. I get that it wasn't her capacity and she specifically wasn't going to do that. But if I'm a juror, I'm like, why isn't she answering this? Clearly it does. It's in the search warrant that she prepared. She could go anywhere on this property, inside any structure or vehicle, take anything she wants that's connected to homicide. And that is not unusual. When you have homicide, you're allowed to have really broad search warrants. We've seen them in some other cases as well.
The search warrant provided that authority to law enforcement, did it not?
It would have, yes.
And you mentioned that you got into the law enforcement business because you're CSI TV junkie of sorts. Did I understand you to say that?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. And
here's where he uses it against her.
And you've seen CSI shows where they go and they look in the drains of showers or sinks and to see if blood residue had been recently flushed through there. That's possible, is it not?
It could be.
And that's just not on TV. I mean, that's skills that SLED's crime team has available to them, correct?
I don't know what they have available, but okay. That would be a crime scene unit question.
Right. The
okay, so I mean, listen. There's no doubt, and love them or hate them, these defense attorneys, okay, love them or hate them, they've got a theory that they are walking down. And this theory is, because he even said, isn't it true that Alec Murdoch, regardless of whether or not you had that search warrant, isn't it true he gave everybody there, all law enforcement officers, carte blanche to search anything they want, phones, even the brother's phone was downloaded, the son's phone was downloaded, Buster's phone was downloaded, Murdoch's phone was downloaded, search any house, search any car, take whatever you want, test whatever you want. Isn't that true? And listen, okay? Let me preface this here real quick. First, before I make this preface, 2.7K watching, only 320 likes. Let's hit that like button. And then I'm going to make a point here that I think a lot of you are going to feel a little bit better, okay? Because it's been a struggle for me to give points to the prosecution so far in this case. However, let me say this. I am very convinced from what I've read that the financial crimes cases are going to go very well for the attorney general's office, for the prosecutor. I think they are going to go very poorly for Alec Murdoch. And I think this was his absolute best chance at a win. I have no idea why they tried this case first as the attorney general's office. I know that he demanded speedy trial, so it seems like Alec wanted this case to go first. But he is all but cooked on the financial side, and I expect him to plea to a lot of those crimes, okay? So keep that in mind. Now, there's a very good chance he ends up in prison for the rest of his life, okay? So keep that in mind, but we still have to treat him as innocent for these murder charges, and we have to hold the state to their burden for these murder charges, not what we think about him for the highway fake suicide insurance fraud, not for stealing money from his housekeeper's family, not for stealing money from his clients or stealing money from his partners, okay? Which is all just allegations as well for the most part. We got to keep that aside when we talk about whether or not they are proving this case. And every officer so far that's come up has basically said, yeah, we could have searched everywhere and taken everywhere, but that's not my job. Which is laying the foundation for when SLED people testify, and it is their job. And guess what? These are smart lawyers. And I don't think Alec Murdoch's lawyers would be going down this line of questioning if SLED did all this testing in the drains and in the washing machine and checked for blood and tested everything. I don't think they would ask all these questions because they're going to look dumb if that's the case. I had a case recently where the defense attorney kept saying, well, yeah, Mr. Tragos' client told you he had never hurt his knee before. Isn't that true? And the doctor was like, yeah, that's what he said. And then guess what? The end of the trial came and that's what everybody said, including my client and including all the medical records. And that's what the jury found because they were setting it up like there was something we were trying to hide where our guy had surgery on his knee from getting hit by a car while he was on a bike. But of course, they wanted to act like his knee was already messed up. But in fact, we had years of medical records where his other knee was replaced, but not this knee. But they kept making it seem like they had this medical record that we missed. And they were really going to show the jury something important. That's what it feels like right now with Murdoch's lawyers. That you could do all this testing, you had a warrant and you had consent from Murdoch, and you didn't even do it. Yet the theory of your case is he went and got all cleaned up. I'm not buying that. If that's your theory of the case, you better have more proof than his shirt was just too clean. That's not good enough for me as a juror, but that's why I love you guys. What do you think? What would you need? Are you buying that defense? It seems like a lot of you do think he went and cleaned up. I know. I see a lot of you saying he could have had time to clean up. He could have had time to clean up. That's fair. He could have. But where did he clean up? Where did he ditch the weapons? Where did he ditch the clothes? And I know people are saying an hour and a half. I don't know if it was quite that much time. I think that's the maximum amount of time it could have been. But some of that time he was driving around, his phone was other places. He wasn't in his house cleaning up because he does have the tracking and texting and stuff on his phone. We also, and I felt like there's been a couple other things the prosecutors have done in this case where it's like, oh, wait, maybe that could be important. Like the shoe prints, maybe that could be important. And then it's like, no, it's not. It was her shoe prints. Okay. The tire tracks, the defense was trying to make it that like seem like that was important. Ooh, those tire tracks. Was that the actual killer? And it's like, oh, no, it was the guy that fed the dogs. The tire tracks matched those tracks. It's like, oh, okay. So I do feel like there's been a couple of those where we got kind of duped maybe if we thought that was an important fact and it ended up not being an important fact. Another one was Paul's truck. What happened to Paul's truck? Oh, well, we found out that he switched trucks with the uncle. And while the uncle was driving it, the truck broke down. They found it on the side of the road. They searched it, eliminated it as evidence in the case. So again, NBD. Everybody was a suspect at that point. And then it was interesting. You guys tell me, right? Because I'm from Florida. People from all over the country could think this was different. This is not important. I'm just interested. So she said his shorts were khaki, right? What does khaki mean to you? My first thought is tan, maybe even a light tan, definitely not a brown. I would call brown, brown, not brown khaki. However, when they ended up being green khaki, I actually was okay with it. I was like, that's true. I feel like that's a part of the khaki color scheme could be that green. Cause they weren't like bright green, the khaki green. I was buying that. I actually thought that was okay. You guys let me know. All right. So then, I didn't find this. Dang it. I meant to find this part of redirect. I thought it was a good cross. I thought when he went through the clean stuff, he used it really well. He's like, no blood on his hands, right? No blood on his shirt. No blood on his shorts. I thought that was all really good, using it to his advantage, a fact. You always want to flip a fact, and if you can use it for you, great. Okay, so then on redirect, again, did he flip him over two times or one time? The phone popped out. How's that possible? Listen, is it likely his phone popped out? I don't know. Is it weird that his phone was on his back pocket? Yes. But do I think it's impossible that his phone fell out? What do we think? Like he dug his hand and pulled his phone? I don't really know what that proves. I think it's a weird fact, but I don't know what it proves. But then there was a picture or something of the clothes. And she said, that looks like fresh clothes that just came out of the laundry. And I thought, that's a good fact for them. I couldn't see the clothes, obviously, because they're not showing us the pictures or the videos, at least on the stream that I've seen. And I'm like, okay, all right. So there were some freshly clean clothes. Maybe he did wash these clothes. I don't know what clothes they were. Were they the white shirt and the green shorts? Were they something else? Was it what he was wearing earlier in the night? I don't know. But then on recross, which is always fun that they're allowing recross, it was raining that night, right? Yeah. What makes you think that they are freshly washed? Here's her answer. And tell me how convincing you thought this was. Well, he's sweating and they are dry. So did he wash the clothes before putting them on? And the clothes he was wearing was freshly out of the laundry? I have no clue what that was her reasoning for thinking that they were freshly washed. Maybe it looked different. I was thinking they're like starched and folded and put on the table with other laundry that just got washed. I think that's a pretty plausible explanation that it's that was recently washed or whatever. I thought it was very weird. Yes, we are going to get to the car interview. We're almost there. I just wanted to get through the day here quickly. So I thought it was a big win for the defense on cross-examining of that witness. And that was really the only significant witness of the day to me. Because then we had the DNA swab officer who collected some evidence, transported some evidence, chain of custody, all important, all things you have to prove. And if they didn't call her, the defense would be like, there were issues with chains of custody. How did you get the DNA? How did you transport it? And actually, that was pretty interesting cross-examination. And again, gives you a little look into the mind that Harpulian was a former prosecutor for 20 years. He knows how this stuff is supposed to be transported. He knows how it's supposed to be stored. And if you don't do it to the letter of the law, he's going to make it sound like you just didn't even care. You put it right next to your phone. You called your mom on the phone on the way over there. He's like, you didn't use the, what was it called? The bag. I can't remember what the bag was called now. I thought I wrote it down. So he's like, you didn't use this very special bag for electronic devices. You just threw it in this brown paper bag. That's what you did to transport it. Huh. Okay. That's the vibe I got from Harpulian's cross-examination from Delilah, I think was her first name. Hey there, Delilah, is what's sticking in my head. So I actually thought it was a Faraday bag. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I really, odor of laundry detergent, sure, but I don't think she said that. I could be wrong, but I don't think she said that. But yeah, I mean, I was with him. I was like, why didn't she use the right bag? I thought it was a good cross on a witness that didn't really do much for the state. They laid foundation that was important, but the defense attorneys, this is what you do. This is what you do on cross. You pick the spots you can win, you hit them, and you get out. He doesn't need to talk to her about, you know, what did the DNA swab? Why'd you swab it like this? Did you swab it like that? Did you put it in the tube? How long was it there? How long did you have it? Whatever. I thought it was a very good job by them. And then you had the SLED agent. Now, listen, if you thought she was boring, it was probably because she went to the University of Florida. I'm just kidding. She was very nice and seemed like a very nice lady. Somebody did say something funny though. Robin, I cleaned my entire kitchen before that lady got the box open. Yeah. But yeah, it was fine. She had a description of the scene. She described a lot of the evidence that they took pursuant to the search warrant when they searched the house. She started talking about the search of Moselle and I was like, yes, are we going to get into detail here? No. It was like this shell casing and that shell casing and this shotgun that we already knew about. I could have zoned out a little bit during her testimony, if I'm being completely honest. But I think all of this is going to be dug into more with the people that did the testing, the expert that matched the shell casings. A lot of important evidence we know is still coming for the prosecution. So it's far from over, but we are going to post a poll now. Who do you think won the day, the state or the prosecutor or the defense? And then after I read a few, questions, we are going to get to that actual body cam footage and watch this interrogation together. But let's get to some questions first. My name is pronounced Jay. I didn't know if it was Jai or Jay. Also watched the body cam video already. Weird that he's wearing the whitest shirt. Didn't he touch the bodies? Very weird, right? He didn't even have blood on his hands. Did they ask him, did you wash your hands? Did they test the sinks? Did they test the pipes? Did they test the washing machine? Now, listen, if you think, oh, they wouldn't test pipes. Yes, they would. Oh, they wouldn't pull pipes out of the ground or pull pipes out of the sink. Yes, they would. Did you see the seatbelt? They didn't just cut the seatbelt. They pulled the whole mechanism out and it was there in court, the entire seatbelt. Don, would you cover something like the Tyree Nichols beating caught on police body cam footage released today and by Memphis police, or is it too graphic? Certain videos are too graphic. I have heard just tidbits about this. I have had a lot of requests for cases over the last week. I've been trying to keep up with Sarah Boone, Idaho, Valo Daybell, even some Petito. I know stuff's happening. This case, I'm at capacity here while still doing my job. So I'm probably not going to be able to get to this right now. Maybe something in the future, though. cake or death. There was an hour and a half between Murdaugh and cops. No blood at that point means he didn't check for the pulse on the 911 call. And if you were on the jury, that would be your vote. And if that's enough to convict, then you have that vote, and that's your right. That's far from enough for me to convict at this point. So who won the day? Well, we will read the poll results in a little bit, and I will give you my answer. JP, CSI is not true crime. It's scripted fictional television show, false equivalency, bad comparison. It's almost like the exact opposite of true crime, right? But it is based on some true crime story, so I get what he was doing there, and he made his point. You know, he made his point, I thought. Leona Edie, hello from London, Canada. Huge snowstorm over here, eh? Thank you, Peter, for a Friday live. Yeah, it's freezing here too. It's like 50 degrees tonight. Really cold. Sherry Atkins, Alex Murdaugh is still innocent in my mind so far, as I think he should be. Like, I think the government would still say he's not guilty at this point, but there's still a lot more to come. A Marine vet mom. This is such a weird trial. I have a feeling the prosecution is lame. I don't think they're lame. I think they're really good. I just think this is a tough case. It's all circumstantial evidence. And if they had a chance to do a better job and didn't do it, that's tough. I'm starting to believe he may not have done it, Esme said. Elizabeth, being greedy doesn't make you a murderer. True. True. I mean, he's definitely, his moral compass, I think, is a little off, but I don't think they've proven it yet. I think that's where Sarah Sutton is sitting as well. I'm not convinced yet that Alex is guilty. Cat M, we don't know if there was a drain in the kennels where he could have cleaned himself off. Do we? The cops should know. And if there was, they should have tested it, especially if they thought they saw blood in the water. Like, you can test that stuff. It doesn't just like go away. Now, it may be hard and it could wash away with a rainstorm, but I hope they did test it. But then if you test it and it's not there, then it's a good fact for the defense. I don't know. I don't think we can just assume that he washed his blood down that drain. I think they have to prove that to us, right? That's how I feel. That's legally speaking. They got to prove that to us. We can't just be like, oh, there was a drain there. That must be where the blood went down. Jamie, didn't the state say it was like a 10-minute window? They definitely didn't say an hour and a half to 2 hours. But again, they're not, if we're all over the place, kind of hour, hour and a half, 10 minutes, they're not doing a good enough job explaining that. I said that in the JD Amber Heard case, that Amber Heard's team did not do a good enough job explaining about limiting those damages like they should have, in my opinion. John O'Reilly, case is lining up like OJ Simpson case. Few, if anyone, believed OJ didn't kill a spouse. The not guilty verdict will be the result of lawyer trickery. I won't call it trickery. I don't think that's fair. Number one. Number two, it could also follow OJ Simpson, where he's not guilty for the murder charges, but then he's guilty on some fraud charges or financial charges later. I think you picked up even more than you thought there, John, about this comparison to OJ Simpson. Ginny, Southerner here. Khaki is the Southern term for pants that aren't jeans. Love it. I.E., Coke is the universal term for soda or pop. What kind of Coke do you want? Sprite. What color khakis? Green. Fair. Totally fair. If I didn't know how much of a questionable character he was making, my first thought is that he's guilty as hell, but now I'm not so sure. I mean, if I didn't know anything about him, oh boy, would I be pounding the table that this guy should not be convicted. It's that other stuff, again, that jurors should not know, that's making me say, it's possible, because I know he's got a horrible moral compass. Paul's Snapchat should show the outfit from earlier, Jackie said. Emmy, why would he even say he rolled someone over if he wanted to claim he was clean? I agree. It doesn't really make sense. Is he a criminal mastermind or is he not? To be able to put all this and get rid of all this stuff this quickly, even if it was an hour. I mean, I guess he could have had the perfectly constructed plan in the first place, but multiple murder weapons, no other footprints or tire marks, creating the alibi, being perfectly clean. It's more likely some other people said like he hired somebody to do that, but the state didn't charge that. Esme, even though I find the defense attorney a bit annoying, he's doing a good job. Thank you for not being so one-sided. That is why you're the best. Thank you, Esme. They were shot by 9 p.m., cops at 10:26, cake or death. Fair, but he's texting people, he's calling people, he's got alibi witnesses that he was in other places, plus drive time, because they know where his car was in that hour and a half. He was not in one place cleaning his body or ditching the weapon or ditching the clothes. They know kind of his whereabouts. Is there a raincoat involved? Weatherbird said. This is another fact that both sides think is a good fact for them. We haven't heard about it yet. I think it's going to be convoluted and confusing, which will score points for the defense, I think. But we'll see. Maybe that will be a very important fact. Miranda Huck. Cell phone info will be huge in this case, as it is in many cases, Miranda. I think you're right about that. Janet Moorcraft, I noticed a lot of talk about blood. What about gunpowder residue on him or his clothes? No, there was some that was consistent with holding the shotgun that he had. That's going to be the testimony. However, this blue tarp or raincoat thing was covered in gunshot residue. Not blood, I don't think, but covered apparently in gunshot residue. So we've got to keep an eye out for that testimony for sure. Cuda Brown, no search warrant for the mom's house. Hasn't been mentioned. He could have cleaned up there. He could have. And if they thought at all there was a chance he did, they would have got a search warrant. They could have got a search warrant. My guess is also, if I'm the defense, I'll say, why didn't they just ask? He let them search everything. If they would have just asked, he would have let them search the mom's house too. So the state can't just say, well, he probably did it at the mom's house. That's facts, not evidence. They have to actually have facts, right? I get what we're all doing. We're all thinking of ways. What could happen? What could happen? What would be our theory if we were the state attorney or law enforcement investigating this? What would we investigate? Cuda would go to the mom's house, check the mom's pipes and stuff as well. Did he wash up there? I would hope law enforcement thought that. If not, they screwed up. 40 Daughtry. If he wins, can they retry him for conspiracy? No, not conspiracy of this murder. Paul Dunlop, I've spent many hours studying body language courses and tactics. His body language shows he knows something at the very least. That's not going to get it done in the court of law. They're going to need actual facts and testimony and things connecting him to this. But I get what you're saying. And I mean, listen, the other stuff he's done gives me that same inclination. Karen Killingsworth, I saw, or that he allegedly did. I saw his interview with the police at the scene. He didn't do it. I thought he did until I saw the interview. So that's a great transition, Karen. Let's get to that interrogation together now. Here we go. Can you guys, oh, there's no sound yet. Here we go.
All right, sir.
So just off the jump, let's take a look at the white shirt and the khaki-ish green, whatever pants. And he is definitely sweating. Okay. So we're all on the same page there. On the back seat is the female officer that was testifying earlier. Front seat is the lead investigator, driver's seat. And then behind the driver's seat is Alex's personal attorney. I believe it's not his brother's personal attorney. I believe it was the one sitting in the car.
I left the house without my wallet.
He said.
State your full name for me, please.
Richard Alexander Murdoch.
Murdoch. That's a new way.
And spell your last name so I get it correct.
Murdaugh.
All right. And you go by Alec?
Yes, sir.
And date of birth, Mr. Murdoch?
May 27th, 1968.
And sir, what was your name?
Yeah, Danny Henderson.
Okay. All right. As I stated, I'm David Owen and Laura Rutland with Colleton County on the sled. I had to do this.
I understand. Yeah. I totally understand. Yeah. So you don't have any problem with it.
So
listen, I'm going to actually go normal speed on this one.
Take your time.
So listen, I'm going to go normal speed. People are used to 1.5. We're going to go normal speed to try to get an idea because so many people are putting so much on how he responds, how he talks, whether or not he cries. We'll just go on normal speed for this one.
Like when I came back here, I mean, I pulled up and I could see him and, you know, I knew something was bad. I ran out. I knew it was really bad. And my boy over there, I could see it was.
Yeah.
I am not a body language doctor or expert. Body language doctor was actually, that reminds me of Bill Simmons. He always talks about he's the body language doctor. This seems real to me. Just saying. This seems real, this cry, but he could also be doing, he could have also done it and still be really sad, right? I think that's absolutely plausible. And I've seen people say that as well.
Sorry. And I could see his brain on. And I ran over to Maggie. And actually, I think I tried to turn Paul over first.
Okay. So that's the first interesting point to me. I think I tried to turn Paul over first. He doesn't confirm. He doesn't say I did for sure. He says, I think I tried to turn Paul over first. And I'll just say, as I'm thinking about it now, everybody that's saying, oh, you would never check the pulse of somebody whose brains were on the ground or whatever, who's in that kind of condition. I think I disagree with you. Initially, I was with you. Initially, I thought the same thing. But now, if I saw, I mean, I don't even want to say it, but if I saw my son, I would check his pulse. I would still hope he was alive. I don't care what he looked like. If that was something that ran through my mind, I don't think that that's, I don't think that that proves guilt. I'll just put it that way.
You know, I tried to turn him over and, I don't know. I figured it out. His cell phone popped out of his pocket. I started to try to do something with it, thinking maybe, but then I put it back down really quickly. Then I went to my wife and,
that's weird. I tried to do something with it and I put it down really quickly. That's kind of weird.
I mean, I could see.
Did you touch Maggie at all?
I did. I touched them both.
Okay.
I tried to take, I tried to do it as limited as possible, mm-hmm. but I tried to take their pulse on both of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they ask where? Where did you try to take the pulse? Did you touch their arm? Did you touch their neck? Why didn't they ask those questions? That would have been important later on, regardless of right now, whether or not you think he did it.
And, I called 911, pretty much right away. And she was very good. I talked to her. I told her I was going to get off the phone to call some family members. I did that.
What family members did you call him?
I called my brother Randy and I called my brother John. And I tried to call a little boy, real good friend that's right around the corner from here, but I didn't get him.
What all was around Paul when you walked up?
Blood.
Anything else?
I mean, there were some body mm-hmm. things, yes, sir.
I mean, like any other evidence. I know you said the phone fell out the pocket, but did you see anything else that didn't belong or shouldn't belong or that wasn't part of Paul?
No, sir. Not to... No, sir.
How about Maggie?
No, sir.
You didn't see anything around them? What made you come out here tonight?
I went to... My mom's a late-stage Alzheimer's patient. My dad's in the hospital. My mom gets anxious when she does. I went to check on them and Maggie.
So this was another thing that was brought out in cross. They said it was unusual for him to go see his mom at night, but some plausible explanation could be his dad just went to the hospital. So he went to check on his mom, who gets anxious when his dad, you know, is sick or whatever. And his dad passes a few days later. So there was an explanation. Whether or not you believe it, it's up to you as a potential juror. But the defense gave an explanation.
She's a dog lover. Okay. She fools with the dogs. And I knew she'd gone to the kennel. I was at the house. I left the house and went to my mom's for just a little while. Tried to call her when I left. Texted her. No response. When I got back to the house was obviously nobody was in there. So I figured they're still up here fooling around. Paul was going to be getting set up to plant. Our sunflower seeds got sprayed and died, and he was refiguring to plant the sunflower seeds. So I came back up here, and I drove up and saw and called.
Had Maggie and Paul been arguing over anything?
No.
What was their relationship like?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. How about yours and Maggie's?
Wonderful. I mean, I'm sure we...
Quick on the trigger with that wonderful, okay? I'm sure it was wonderful. I would say the same thing about my wife. When he does correct it here and said, because I haven't watched this, actually. We're watching it for the first time together, but I did listen to the audio when it was played during the trial. And he immediately says, it was wonderful, right? You don't want to give any inclination. And so because this came out in trial, this is now a fact and evidence. So the whole like troubled relationship or talking about divorce or anything like that, those facts have to come out before the prosecutor can argue those facts. So right now, this is a fact and evidence. So the defense can say and did say their relationship was wonderful. And Alec doesn't have to testify for them to get it because it came out through his words right here.
We had little things here and there, but we had a wonderful marriage, wonderful relationship.
And yours and Paul's relationship?
As good as it could be.
How old was Paul?
22.
Okay. You know his date of birth?
I do. April 11th, 96 is his brother's. April 14th, 99 is Paul's.
What's Maggie's full name?
Margaret Brandstetter Murdoch.
And her date of birth, sir?
September 15,
1968. Have y'all been having any problems out here? Trespassers?
None.
People breaking in?
None that I know of. The only thing that what comes to my mind is my son Paul was in a boat wreck a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's been a, you know, he was charged with being arrested for being the driver. There's been a lot of negative publicity about that. And there's been a lot of people online, just really vile stuff. But when Paul's out and about, I mean, people routinely, I don't think I know the full story. So I don't think they give it to me. But I mean, he's been punched and hit and just attacked a lot.
That was clearly Murdoch's story. Whether or not it's true, I don't know, but that was clearly what he was going to go with, that this must have been connected to Paul's BUI.
So, you know, but I mean, nothing like this.
Yeah. Any one person in particular or group of people?
I don't know.
That you could think of?
Not that I know, no, sir.
Has he, other than being assaulted, has he received any direct threats related to the boat accident?
Oh, yes. All the time. He gets
recently?
Yes, sir. I mean, he gets them all the time.
Okay.
He gets them all the time.
What kind of,
I'm going to kick your ass, you know. I've never been privy firsthand, mm-hmm. You know.
Is that through social media or?
No, ma'am. It's mostly like if he goes out places is what, you know, what he goes out like somewhere. He's in college, so if he goes out is what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I can find out better details from some of his younger friends on that.
Who's his best friend?
So, Ann, how could his relationship be wonderful if they're separated? We have no evidence that they're separated yet. I mean, you may know something that we don't or have read an article or something like that, but as far as the trial evidence goes, none of that has happened yet. John O'Rourke, Peter, would you have spoken to the cops or pled the fifth? That's a tough call here. Honestly, it's not that tough of a call for me. If I showed up to this, I would absolutely talk to the cops. Absolutely, I would have talked to the cops because I would do everything I can to try to help find the killer. So I would have. But if he didn't, this would be an interesting situation if he didn't. I think you're right. This one would have been the most interesting that we've seen so far. Tori, if I found my family murdered, I wouldn't be able to put two sentences together. I think he's genuine, super awkward responses. I definitely would not be able to put two sentences together. Anne, why did he say no one was in the house? If he didn't kill them, the killer could be in the house waiting for him because he did it. He went to the house to grab his shotgun. I mean, that's, I think, how I would explain it. EJ, I keep reminding myself that the jurors don't have the info I do. The burden is on the prosecution to prove to those 12 he did it. Only 2 days in, we'll see. EJ, this is the comment. I'm going to leave this on the screen and play a little bit more because this is how I feel with you.
His best friend in Colombia is Will's Chapman, Will Loving, Bobby Boyle. Bobby Boyle, Will Chapman, and Paul were getting ready to move into a house together in Colombia.
You said Will Chapman and Will Loving?
Will's with an S, okay. Chapman, and Will with an L, Loving.
Okay.
Around here, his best friends are clearly Nolan Tootin and Rogan Gibson.
Nolan Tootin?
Yes, sir.
And what was the other one? I'm sorry.
Rogan Gibson.
Have you talked with any of these guys tonight?
Talked with Nolan, yes, sir.
Is he out here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently there are a lot of people out there, family members, friends, all sorts of people. Jamie, all these Southern accents makes everyone seem so genuine. This is coming from a Northern girl, so I'm probably not a good judge. That's funny. Heather, this is a great point. Do you find it odd that he had no security cameras in his position and everything that had been going on and how huge the property is? Multiple structures, dogs that cost money. Very interesting to me. I think that's a great point.
I tried to call Rogan, was one of the people that he's the boy that I told you lives around the corner. Okay. That's very, you know, he's just a good, helpful young man. You mind if I open the door really quickly?
Go right in. Do what you need to do. So is there anybody that you can think of that we need to talk to tonight? Is there a name that comes to mind?
I mean, I can't tell you anybody that I'm overly suspicious of off the top of my head.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this is such a stupid thing. I'm even embarrassed to say it. But it just didn't make any sense. I just hired a guy out here.
Mm-hmm.
And
so this part, when he talks about this guy, I don't think he's necessarily like accusing him, but I would be racking my brain too, to think who could have done this. Who could have done this? Steph, yes, that is his lawyer in the backseat. Yes.
He wasn't cutting the mustard, but I hadn't told him this yet. Paul's been working with him a lot. He killed the sunflower seeds in our dove field just recently, which is why Paul was here doing this. He told Paul a story the other day about how when he was in high school, he got in a fight with some black guys. And the FBI undercover team observed him fighting those guys and put him on an undercover team with three Navy SEALs. And
because it's raining outside. This story is weird. But again, he was just saying like, maybe this was somebody as well.
Their job was to kill radical Black Panthers, and they did that from Myrtle Beach to Savannah. Now, I really don't think this guy, you know, is probably the person, but that's just so friggin'.
Yeah, that's kind of far-fetched story.
That's weird, but he was off today.
Okay.
He took his daddy to the doctor.
What's his name?
C.B. Rowe.
R-O-W-E?
Yeah, and I sent him a message to text me earlier today about sunflowers, and he called me back when I was on the way to my mom's house.
Did you talk to him at that time?
Briefly. I was on the phone with a lawyer friend of mine named Chris Wilson from Bamberg, so I told him I'd call him back tomorrow. See him in the morning.
When you briefly talked to Mr. Rowe, what was his demeanor or attitude? Or
I mean, it seemed normal. I mean, I asked him about the sunflowers, and so, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's a little bit.
Where does he live?
I don't exactly know. Somewhere in in Bronson.
Okay. Do you have his phone number?
I do.
You got it with you, please, sir?
I do.
No fear when he goes reaching, right? That's interesting. I think that probably has something to do with who he is and them knowing him and stuff like that. I don't think they would just... He also said, do what you need to do earlier. And I definitely think there's... He's treated a little bit differently here. I don't think that's far-fetched to say.
You know, but I do think him and Paul got along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
That's just really, really weird. All right. CB.
Right there. Lap.
Yeah, I know he called me, so I'll go to that.
Okay. All right, let's get to a couple questions here. We'll take a little break. We're about halfway through. Legal question from John. If Maggie came to you as an attorney for advice about divorce and you hear this, duty to come forward, duty to not disclose if subpoenaed to testify. So it's interesting. I mean, it's attorney-client privilege information. I think that potentially he could say, that probably is privilege. So I was going to say, maybe he'd be able to say that he did meet with her, that Maggie did come to his office. Maybe he wouldn't testify to it. Maybe somebody in the building would be like, she went to Attorney Jones's office, and what does Attorney Jones practice? Divorce law, family law, specializing in divorce, whatever, something like that. Potentially, there's probably ways you could get to it without breaking privilege. Maria, why wasn't some of the evidence admitted at the end of the day? I didn't fully get the objection or reasoning. The reason some of it didn't get entered by that last witness is because they agreed they weren't going to enter it until the people that did some of the testing or could testify more about, I believe, testify more about how that evidence is relevant. Not just that they collected it there, but how is this evidence relevant? They're probably going to wait till people can lay that foundation and explain it, and then they're going to enter it then. Melissa Harden, I feel like you have too much of a hard-on for the defense. Heard there are problems with his visit to his mom and dad. Great, and if there are, I'll be here for him. But this far into the trial, and I will read the results, are 56% of who won the day was the defense, 43% was the prosecution. I also think the defense won day two. So if the defense wins day one and day two, they're pretty far ahead in my opinion. I think they're doing a better job. If you call that a hard on, okay. I think they're doing a better job so far. Kara, he's trying to answer their questions. No one knows how they would react unless they found their wife and son murdered. I agree with you there. And Emmy says, tangential narrative is congruent with shock. 7 years trauma therapist, and it is fairly believable. All right, let's get back to it.
843-540-9335.
Need to get that phone on the charge. Yeah.
Is that an iPhone?
Yes, sir.
Watch your leg for a second, please.
Thank you.
When did he tell that story to Paul?
Sometime last week.
Okay.
Sometime last week. My son Paul actually and I really do not think, on all honesty, that it's him, but I know y'all got to check it out. But Paul was so taken aback by it that he sent, I'll find it, I got it on my phone. He recorded him saying bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
No. But for all his weirdness, I mean, I do think they like, I mean, they got along
okay.
pretty good.
How long had he been working here?
I guess about 3 or 4 pay periods. So, weeks, a couple months.
Okay. Going back to the boat incident, anybody on that boat?
Bill, you can't do this to me, man. This is serious. I'm not trying to laugh. I have to show Bill's comment now. If anybody saw me smirk, whatever was happening in the video, lawyer in the back seat went third button. Dude, I thought the same thing when the video first started, Bill. All right, let's get back in the zone here. Let's get back in the zone. This is really sad. So let's keep watching.
Really have a hard on for Paul that you would think would come after him or know of any direct threats from people on the boat?
I don't know of any direct threats between any of the people on the boat
okay.
specifically, but I do think there's been a small amount of yip-yap between a couple of them, but not recently.
Okay.
Most of this was stuff from people that Paul didn't really know.
Okay.
It was some people that he knew distantly, but more times than not, when I learned about it, it was somebody that he didn't know.
Okay. Third button is when you only button 3 buttons from the bottom. You leave too many buttons open from the top. That's what third button is. I mean, you could see like the guy's entire chest. Jinji Probs, how do we know how long they were dead? Ring cameras are mostly battery operated, easy to remove, etc. Still, I don't have enough evidence to convict, but I work employment law. What do I know? Well, you probably know a lot of things about employment law and the rules of what employees and employers have to do. So yeah, I mean, I still think that stuff that we are still waiting to find out. I am going to bump this up to 1.5 now. I think we've seen his demeanor for 20 minutes. Let's get it up to 1.5 so we can get through this. And if you like it slower, you can always slow it down on your end.
Okay.
It's like, for example, he went out in Charleston a couple months ago, came back, you know, he got a black eye. And, you know, he can't defend himself right now because he has these charges. So, you know, he would, if I was a real tough man's man, mm-hmm. you know, he would just...
He would defend himself, but he hadn't been.
That's right.
But he can't defend himself because he's got these charges and he's out and he'll get more charges and that's not good.
How was he handling that case? Running over everybody.
As far as what?
How was he handling it?
I've never been prouder of him than the way he has handled the pressures and the adversity in that situation. I think I've told Danny that before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree, Tori. I don't know if he's distracted or what, but he is. He's on his game right now, just talking through everything. But again, I do think this is just happening. This is shock. He's talking about him like he's still alive here. He's never been prouder of him. So I do think that genuinely could happen too. I'm in the like anything's possible at this point. This could have happened. That could have happened. I'm not convinced what happened. I'm not convinced how he's feeling. I'm not convinced that he's doing this like he must have done it with how he's acting, or there's no way he did it while he's acting. Either of those could be possible to me. That's why the defense is winning. The state the prosecutor, has to prove to us what happened if we are the jury.
Paul is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kid. He can do almost anything. He gets along with almost anybody.
Do y'all store any weapons out here?
We don't store them, but they're frequently out here. Mm-hmm. I need to find out if there were any out here because I know there was a shotgun. There was a 12-gauge shotgun out here. I'll have to find out exactly when that was. I think it got put up, but I'm not positive.
What did that shotgun look like?
It was a camouflage. I want to say it was a Benelli or maybe a Beretta. I can't remember which brand it is. But I don't think it was out here
recently.
But I'm not positive.
And the shotgun that you had when deputies pulled up, where did that gun come from?
I went to the house and I got a gun, probably overreacting, but...
And was that when you pulled up and saw them?
No, I mean, I came out and I called 911 first. Mm-hmm. Talked to them for a little while and then I told...
Scott, I can attest I have seen this. I have seen this. You're right.
Her.
You told her?
That I was going to go to the house.
Okay.
And that I would let authorities know when they got here that I had a gun.
Okay. Do you happen to have a list of all your guns?
I can make one. I don't have one, but I can make one.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, so we could compare if that shotgun was out here and now it's missing.
Absolutely.
Try to figure that out.
I know, absolutely.
And I know living out here in the country, you probably have more than one or two.
We do. We probably have 20, 25 guns.
Yeah. Shotguns,
rifles, pistols.
Any rifles?
Yes, sir.
What kind of rifles?
All kinds.
Yeah.
All kinds. I mean, you name it, across the board, we have them.
Okay.
I mean, they're all of them we have are, in a hunting room. In our house.
Thank you, Kelly. Amanda, you would think that somebody will be able to testify to at least a range of time that the killings occurred in. It may not be to the minute, but they'll give us some kind of range of time. Yes, Amanda, I think that is going to happen. I hope.
What was their schedule today? When did they get home?
My son works for my brother, and he was coming home to deal with the sunflowers. He got here pretty early because he and I rode around looking at everything for a good little while, probably 45 minutes to an hour. Maggie had things she did in Charleston, and she had a doctor's appointment in Charleston. And she got back here. It was fairly late.
Dark yet when Paul got home?
No, Paul got home early.
Early, okay. So before dinner time?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Lunchtime? Or?
No, ma'am.
What brother does Paul work for?
John Marvin.
And what does Paul do for him?
Everything.
Just handyman?
Yes, sir.
Was it unusual for Maggie to feed the dogs this time of night or check on them?
Oh, no. I mean, she played with those dogs all the time. And it's especially common for her to, she's been gone for a while, mm-hmm. to come and let especially two of them out to run.
Okay, so she pretty regularly comes out here in the evenings?
Very regularly.
Okay.
She comes out here a lot.
You have any cameras on your property?
I have deer cameras, but none, around up here.
Where are they at?
On different.
So like deer cameras on the trees to see where the deer are, but he doesn't have anything around the house. That is strange. Somebody mentioned that earlier that he only cares about the deer. That is kind of weird.
Deer stands.
Okay. So deep in the woods.
Well, not necessarily deep in the mm-hmm. woods. Some of them are in fields and,
okay.
But I don't, there's none that, are near here.
Okay.
What doctor's appointment? What doctor did Maggie see today?
I forget the guy's name. Maggie's been having trouble with her. She's been having trouble with her stomach and her tooth. I'm not positive. It was sort of a routine visit, and I can't remember. She told me the name of him, and I want to say Gordine.
Okay.
Is who I think she saw.
So was she back home around supper time? Or 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock?
I don't think she got back quite that early. I think she got back a little bit later than that.
Okay.
All right, let's answer a couple more questions to break it up here. American lady, if I'm a juror, I find it disturbing that Buster isn't crying and doesn't seem upset about graphic testimony. What do you think? I think a lot of it's being blocked from the gallery, so he's probably not necessarily seeing it all. it would be hard for me to judge anybody's reactions at this point, if I'm being honest. Golden Girl, I don't understand why it's relevant whether he checked their pulses, rolled them over, et cetera. Either way, it doesn't prove he did it. Can you explain? Yes, there's some context to this. So they want to know, was he like messing with people saying he checked their pulse? Like the prosecution's going to say he killed them and then like pretended to check their pulse or say that he checked their pulse because that sounds like you would do to see if somebody was dead. But then also, if he checked their pulse, how does he have no blood on? How do you check their pulse and not get any blood on you? So that's why they're just trying to poke holes in his story. Ice Goal, I really appreciate this comment. This isn't the Megyn Kelly show. Not that I have anything against Megyn Kelly, the second part. We can smile sometimes. We don't hysterically laugh. We show reaction to dumbness because we have brains. Smile, Peter. I appreciate it. And of course I will. We will keep doing that. Shelly, 1,100 acres, you wouldn't need cameras that isolated. Oh, I would have cameras. I would have cameras. Kim Ripley, I only heard them testify today that he took a few guns. Is there a reason they wouldn't have collected them all? Seems strange. 191K. Yes, Kim, we are pushing towards 200K. So everybody, if you haven't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button. There's almost 5,000 people in the chat. Hit that like button. Let's get it to 4,000. Yeah, I mean, I guess they wouldn't collect the guns they know would not match anything that happened out there. So they would get the shotguns and the rifles, I would think. But the pistols and other guns that are clearly not involved, maybe they wouldn't collect those guns.
What did you do today? Were you in the office or?
No, I was home. I came home, Paul and I messed around. I was up at the house. I laid down, took a nap on the couch, probably, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes. I got up. I called Maggie. Didn't get an answer. And I left to go to my mom's. She had said she might ride with me, but she normally doesn't when I go over there. And I think I texted her and she's very good about answering the phone. So that was odd, or calling me back. Mm-hmm. So that was odd, but it wasn't that big a deal.
Now, what time was that?
What time was what?
That you sent her a text message.
All right. I texted her at 9:08, going to check on M, be right back. And then I texted her at 9:47. That must be when I started to come back. I think I called her before that, but let me make sure. Pretty sure that I called her 9:45. And then I tried Paul. And then, no, I think that was riding. I think that might've been riding over there. 10:03. I mean, my calls are right here.
Yeah.
So, obviously this is when I, at 10:06,
P.S. I'll just tell you again, and I'll read some of these comments like Diana's. Honestly, I just don't know what to make of it. Is he distraught or shocked? Is he detoxing, the spitting, shaking? I agree. I agree with you. Cynthia, wow, I was on the he hired someone train, but unless he's a fantastic actor, I'm starting to believe he didn't plan it or do it. It might be crazy, but I feel like he's genuinely upset and truthful. So like the whole immediately he had this alibi ready to tell everyone is what the prosecutor is saying. He didn't pick up his phone and say, look, 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 at 9:06, I texted him here. Look, 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 I called this person at 10:15 or whatever it may have been. He waits until it's appropriate to bring out his phone and say the time. I'm not saying he didn't do it, okay? I'm not saying he didn't do it. We're picking apart this evidence as if we're the jury and we're watching this together back in the jury room. He wasn't sitting there waiting and begging to tell them what his alibi was, I don't think. But you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, we are listening to the cadence and how this happened. I don't know. And he just said, oh, it's all on my phone here all the times. 27 minutes into the conversation, not 27 seconds. I know he's already mentioned the phone before. Again, when they asked him, he didn't have his phone out until they asked him and then he pulled his phone out. Somebody said, you know, not all defendants would be able to just reach in their pocket like that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want some gum?
You don't have any water, do you, Danny? I don't need it.
If you, behind Danny's head is a case of water.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I got some right here.
Well, thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
I'm sure we're going to have much more questions.
I'm available at, you know, you let me know.
What's another number in case I can't get you on your cell?
I don't have a house phone.
Okay.
An office number. I can give you my brother's cell phone.
All right. What's Randy's?
Hey, Randy's is 803-943-8881.
Man, a lot of you are giving him a lot of credit for being a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. I've done a lot of these interviews. I've cross-examined a lot of witnesses. I've prosecuted cases. I've defended cases. I've handled civil cases, criminal cases, state, federal. I do not think I would be able to do this. I really don't think I'd be able to keep all this straight and be able to just like put this together, keeping all this straight with my text messages, calls, cleaning up after myself. I mean, whew, I don't know.
John?
John Marmon's 843-321-5508.
And you said your dad's in the hospital?
Yes, sir.
Which hospital? Charleston or
Savannah, Candler, St. Joseph's.
Is he doing okay or what's?
He's having a really, really hard time. He's got a lot going on. he's doing okay given everything, but he's got a lot going on.
About Maggie's family, where are they?
Somerville.
Have you been in touch with them tonight?
Contacted, yes. I had my brother call Bart, the wife of his sister, the husband of Maggie's sister, so that they could go and tell Maggie's parents. I felt like they needed to hear it in person.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going there and calling me. So they must not be there yet.
Maggie's parents in Somerville?
Yes. And her mom just had a knee replacement surgery, and her dad really has trouble getting around nowadays.
You have any other children?
I do. I have a 24-year-old.
That's right. You said, what's his name?
Buster. Well, Richard Alexander Jr.
Okay. He goes by Buster.
He goes by Buster.
Is he here tonight?
He's on his way.
Okay.
Joe, Kelly, I thought the same thing when they just talked about that. Maggie's parents. Oh, it's brutal.
Laura, you got anything?
This one's hard. But when you first saw Paul, you said you tried to flip him over. Was he laying on his back or on his stomach?
Just like he
just like he is. So you weren't able to move him. Okay.
Oh, ma'am.
Okay. And did he help Maggie a lot out here with the animals?
Too deep. We didn't mean, I mean, I didn't mean about her parents' health issues. I meant the news that her parents were about to get.
He helped everybody with everything.
Okay. So it was kind of routine for him to be out here as well.
This place is his absolute passion.
Okay.
I tried to turn him, and then I checked him, and I think I already knew, but I checked him.
And when you first pulled into the property, did you come from this direction where all our police cars are, or which way did you come in?
I went to the house.
Okay.
And then I came from the house this way. Straight here, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
This is true. This comment is true.
I mean, where my vehicle was parked is probably...
Is where it was, okay.
Well, no, maybe not exactly, but it was pretty close, because I came back the same route.
That's right, because you went back to get your shotgun.
When I came back.
All right. I can't think of anything else right now, but you know, we'll certainly be in touch.
Thank y'all for everything y'all are doing.
So, you know, just to kind of let you know what's going to go on, we're going to be out here for quite some time. In the coroner will take custody of Paul and Maggie.
Can I answer that? Yeah. What? No, we're finished. Let me come out here. Well, I'll be here when he gets here. No, don't let him come up here. Okay, yeah. I think we're about done. All right, thank you. I'm sorry.
Buster, in here.
Okay. Yes, sir. I dropped my card.
Okay, what did you know?
Sorry. There you go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, so the coroner will come over and talk to you. You know, they'll do the autopsy and everything, and then go from there.
Thank you.
But we'll come to you before we leave.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Rutland.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
So some of you are saying that looked genuine to me. Some of you are saying turned on the waterworks. Again, that's up to the jury to decide. To me, the fact that he like immediately starts crying when it hits him again, and he remembers that it's real. Then he starts crying and then he can get into these conversations where he doesn't think it's, you know, where he thinks that it's real. And he, I mean, you could say it's, he's faking it. He's turning on the waterworks. I mean, again, that's something the jury is going to have to decide. And again, I also think he could be crying even if he did it. Dip Nails by Jules. Could his experience as a lawyer help him know how to act if he was guilty? A lot of people seem to think so. I think it's more of a psychopath that is able to do this than a lawyer. I know plenty of lawyers that would not be cold-hearted enough to be able to do this if they actually did do what he's accused of doing. Susan, welcome to the membership crew and all the new members tonight. It's fun to see everybody joining in. Diana, this is brutal to watch. None of us know. So many questions. Couldn't have said it better myself, Diana. Kim, I called it a couple weeks ago, 200K by the Super Bowl, perfect members only party celebration. Absolutely. I am down for that. If you guys are, if we can get to 200K by the Super Bowl, that would be cool. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Emily, verdict will depend on admissibility of prior acts. You know what, Emily? I think this is a good point. I think this prosecution's case gets much, much stronger if they can get the generally bad guy rule and just pile on all the bad stuff that he's been accused of his entire life, because there's a lot. What's her name? I know nothing about this case. Vallo Daybell is my obsession. I'd be a perfect juror. We'll keep you posted by end of trial what my final verdict is. What's her name? Please do. And remind me. I'm going to try to burn this what's her name into my head here, because I do want to hear from some people that don't know anything. Red paint, strategic to call assistant before lead detective so he could prep. Interesting. Red paint. Lita, enjoying your channel. I know the jury will never hear this, but FYI, another attorney who knows Alec said he's a master at lies and manipulation. No, not just another attorney. Lots of people say this about Alec. Lots of people. But again, doesn't make him a murderer, and it definitely, that's not enough to prove that he did this. Girly, if I were a juror and had to decide today, I couldn't convict based on the trial so far. Do I think he's guilty in some capacity? Yes, but not proven so far. It's a good way to go into a case. It's okay to think that it's going to get there, but it's not there yet. Alex, I don't know, man. It's a hard case. He has enemies, to be honest. Can't tell anymore, but I still don't understand why they didn't search the house when they had a search warrant, and he seems genuine, but with his history. So I think they did search the house. The point is, or the problem is, they didn't find any evidence of this crime, I don't think. They didn't find the blood. They didn't find the clothes. They didn't find the gunshot residue. They didn't find where he cleaned up or where he hid things, I think. But I don't know. We're still going to see what they found. Emily, verdict will hinge on whether the prior acts get in. I agree. Megan, okay, a few opinions. Past cocaine use causes post-nasal drip. Oh, come on. Don't do that to me. Sometimes that happens to me. I've never tried cocaine. Also, the way he's talking is a Southern thing. We wonder off sometimes. The emotional thing is very hard to judge. I think he did pills. I don't know. Did he do cocaine too? It wouldn't surprise me with kind of his past, but not everybody with the nasal drip has done cocaine. Karen Killingsworth, you would have to compartmentalize this. Yeah, you'd have to. Absolutely. Either way. Tori, I forgot he was a lawyer. He is trained to compartmentalize life. So yeah, I think Peter was right. When he remembered it's real, he reacted. I think so. I don't know, though. That's just kind of my opinion. We all bring our different backgrounds and experiences into this. Courtney Jordan, can the other problems, drugs, money, et cetera, come up in court? Sorry if it's a silly question. Thank you for helping. They're trying to get it in. The prosecution is trying to get into a lot of those prior bad acts, but we haven't. The judge has not ruled on that yet. Lobi Sai, thank you so much. And Azam, thank you for the super sticker. All right. Another long one tonight. Sorry, I try to keep these to an hour, but I figured you guys would want to watch the body cam footage, so we did it together. And we're taking a break for the weekend. We do have a video that Pete did that's going to post on Elizabeth Holmes sometime this weekend, so make sure you check that out. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the reminder bell so you can come join us every night as we talk about this case throughout the entirety of this trial. And follow us on the other cases and hit the like buttons on every video that you see. Oh, one important note. I'm going to get to a couple more comments, but Rob from Law and Lumber asked me to redirect. I have no idea how to do it, but John is on here and is going to redirect you guys to Rob's channel. I think he's going to be talking about this case. You can go hang out with Rob if you want. If you don't, you don't have to. But he's a super nice guy. If you want to check him out, he's a lawyer. Law and Lumber is his channel. Subscribe and like his videos too. JP, house search in September, witness said today. Holly Bobali, that awful grunting noise. There were a lot of noises going on in that video. All right. Thank you all so much. I appreciate you guys so much. Tell Rob I said hello. Tell him you're coming from this channel if you get redirected over there and you stay and hang out with him for a while. Appreciate y'all for being here. I will see you Monday, but more videos coming this weekend because we just provide a lot of content for you because you guys enjoy it. You seem to enjoy it at least. And if you do, hit that like button. Appreciate you guys. Till next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Lawyer You Know podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, which I hope you did, here's what to do next. Give it a share, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, and make sure you subscribe to the show in the listening app of your choice. Follow me on all social media platforms at Tragos Law and join the Lawyer You Know YouTube channel and community where you can ask me questions live on all of these cases. If you've got an idea for a specific topic or you have a personal legal question on an injury case, whether it's a car accident, trip and fall, wrongful death, or catastrophic injury case, please email me at lawyeryouknow@gmail.com. All of these links I just mentioned are included in the show notes section of this episode. So until next time, I'm Peter Tragos.